Thank you. I always think in these sort of gatherings, people are thinking, I wonder how long he's going to be. And I know the feeling well. And with regard to comfort zones, actually I'm outside of mine at this moment in time because I'm not used to preaching high up above everyone and so on. So I just want for a few moments to talk about the power of partnership, because I think partnerships are very, very important in the life of the church. When two churches or groups of people come together in partnership, I really do believe two is better than one. I do believe that out of partnerships, great things can happen. So in my normal kind of way, I've got 3 points. So Irene always says, don't take any of that because there's always subheadings. But I think we're fairly clear. I just want to share 3 very simple things and 3 scriptures with you that I hope will take us from here with a sense of why we're doing this and the importance of partnership. And the first thing I want to say is this: partnership should be pleasant. Partnership should be pleasant. And I take that from a very short psalm, Psalm 133. If ever you go to a service and they talk about unity, they're likely to take you to this particular psalm. And it says this: how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard. This is a picture of the high priest being blessed as the anointing oil is upon his head. Down the beard, always, the beard always speaks of maturity. So it's a mature thing when churches come together and partnerships happen. Running down on Aaron's head, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon, Hermon being the high mountain, were falling on Mount Zion, which is actually a smaller place but often is a picture of the church. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. And so it says here how good and pleasant it is. I have found that often in areas of unity, it is rather how hard and precious it is when brothers try to get on with one another. But it's a pleasant thing. That word pleasant is a word that means sweet, or it could be used of music with harmony. And therefore, when partnership really happens well, it's a pleasant thing. It brings harmony. The picture here of oil and dew are symbols of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's blessing coming down upon the church and blessing the church. And if you read this psalm carefully, it talks about oil coming down. It talks about dew coming down. I think it was Charles Spurgeon that said, its way is downward. Now that's significant, because what we're talking about, as we partner together, so something comes down from heaven, and the blessing of God, the symbols of the Holy Spirit, the oil and the dew of his presence, I believe that there's a downward movement of God's love and his grace for us today. So partnership should be pleasant. And I think all the words that's being expressed suggest, and we know that it doesn't mean we're going to be clones and doing things all the same way. I think diversity is very important in unity, as people have different styles, different ways of doing things. But partnership is pleasant. And I think it's a pleasant evening, and it's full of health and harmony and life. The second thing I want to say is that partnership can bring healing and renewal. I believe that often there are so many divisions and schisms and broken relationships through the Church of Jesus Christ that partnerships can begin to bring healing and renewal. And as I was thinking about that, I thought of Ezekiel chapter 37, and some of you will know that story of the dry bones. You could sing this well: them bones, them bones, them dry bones. The picture of bones that are dry, a picture very often of certain aspects of church life, dry bones, but then there is a moving of God, and the dry bones, the bones connect with bones, and tendons appear, and then a great army rises, which is a picture of Israel specifically, but also I think that happens in the church. But often in Ezekiel 37, we know about the dry bones bit, but there's a second part. And the second part in my Bible, the second story that happens really in Ezekiel 37, in my Bible it says, one nation under one king. And the picture there is a picture of two sticks. And at the time, there are two parts of God's kingdom that are divided. There's the northern part, the southern part, there's Judah, and there's Israel. And they've been divided, they've been doing their own things. In fact, there's quite a bit of opposition between them. And God says to the prophet Ezekiel, I want you to do this. I want you to take two sticks. And on one, I want you to write Israel. On the other, write Judah. And then God says to Ezekiel, what I want you to do is to take these sticks in your hands, and then I want you to bring them together, put your hand over where they join. And of course, the skeptics would say, it's a conjuring trick, it's not really going to happen. But as the two sticks are placed together, an amazing thing happens. God says, put the two sticks together in your hand, and then a couple of verses later, God says they become one in my hand. And so what we're talking about today is that what we do on the ground, if you like, symbolically, and sometimes it feels as though it might be a bit awkward, are they joined? What does it mean by joining? You know, is it real? I believe prophetically today what we're doing is we're saying, take the stick and write on it Trinity, and take another stick and write the Ark, and in some wonderful way, if you can prophetically see it, and here it says, God says to Ezekiel, place it before their eyes, which is a really strong term, and if we can see something today, we can actually say, you know, this could be just a little man-made thing, or it could be that God's hand covers our weakness, and we see something real. And actually, I think God only sees one church anyway. But I believe that partnership can bring healing, it can bring renewal, and in both of these stories you see dry bones come together, an army rises, a picture of a church that's being blessed again, and also we see these two sticks. We all like our labels, don't we? I'm of this tribe, I'm of that tribe. You know, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal. I'd like to be just known as a follower of Jesus Christ. I think most of us would. And so they took the two sticks, and then as they were joined together by Ezekiel, if you read the history, you'll find that they become one, under one king. And there's restoration and there's healing that takes place. And so my prayer is that out of this partnership, healing, wholeness, renewal, even things historically sometimes, because we don't always know what happened in history and why people divided and all those kind of things, but it's a step in the right direction with regard to unity. And then the third thing is this, partnership can lead to greater influence and visibility. Partnership can lead to greater influence and visibility. And I just want to very quickly share with you something that's been intriguing me lately from John chapter 13, where Jesus comes and he comes to his disciples and he brings them a new commandment. It says here in John chapter 13 verse 23, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I was musing over that recently, and I was thinking, why did Jesus come to his disciples and say, I'm going to bring you a new commandment? After all, weren't the other commandments enough? There was the Ten Commandments that God had given in the Old Testament, and then one day when religious leaders came and asked Jesus to sum up what the meaning of the Ten Commandments would be, he actually told them that actually they were all hinging on two particular commandments. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And there's this little phrase that says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God, love people. So I was thinking, why did Jesus have to bring a new command? Aren't the ten enough? Aren't the love God, love people enough? Interestingly, that little phrase, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I was just thinking about that as well, and that word hang is very important. everything that God said through his law, everything that was spoken by his prophets, Jesus says it all hangs like we were perhaps hanging a picture on two nails, love God, love people. You know, I'm told that where you hang a painting really matters. I mean, I don't know anything about art, so I can't tell you whether this is right. But if you think about this, the whole story of God, through the Old Testament, through the prophets, Jesus says, hangs on two things, love God, love people. And so the way I think of it is like this. There's this great picture. It's the story of God. But if you don't hang it right, you're not going to see it right. I'm told that in a gallery you've got to hang a picture in the right place with the right light on it so that you understand it. And actually, to understand about the God of the Old Testament, you've really got to hang all that you read in the Old Testament on these two principles, love God, love people. And the other thing I found, I was with one of these clever sort of ministers that was in America 2 weeks ago, and my friend Jack Grableski, he reads the scriptures in the original. So I can't do that, I just read it in English. He reads it in Hebrew, he reads it in Greek. And I said to him, Jack, will you look at the word for hang? Because I don't want to make something that's not there, but I think I can see this picture hanging on two things, love God and love people. And as he looked into the original, his eyes lit up, and he said, I think you're onto something here. And I said, good, I hoped I was. And he said, the word hang there, the root of it is the word that we would get for crucifixion, Jesus hanging on a cross, and it all started to make sense. Actually, everything we're doing this for is because of Jesus Christ. Everything hangs on this man, Jesus, who died on the cross that we might live forever. And so I come to this and I think, why did Jesus come to his disciples and says, I'm now commanding you, I'm giving you a new commandment? If you've got the 10 commandments and Jesus says, I've come to fulfill them, and if the 10 are summed up in 2, love God and love people, why do you need a new commandment? And then I began to see it. He says here, a new command I give to you, love one another. That's already been said. But listen, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's spoken to the disciples. The new commandment is this. Yes, love God, love your neighbor, but you better love one another. And as you love one another as the people of God, and this is my point, as you do that, Jesus says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So this love isn't just love, but it is love that is deep, and it's as Jesus loved his disciples, with sacrifice, with care, concern, and love. So we must love one another. And in this partnership, love has to be at the center of it. But actually, by this, Jesus says, all men will know that you are my disciples. In other words, the world, everybody out there in our workplace, in our schools, places of education, it's when the church begins to demonstrate this kind of love and come together with this kind of love that the world begins to take notice. When churches divide, and when churches remain small and insignificant or marginalized, the world sort of is not attractive. But when the love that is expressed by Jesus to his followers and his disciples, when that love is evidenced through a people that genuinely love one another, and then out of that love, they take this good news message out onto the streets, into their workplace, changing society, making God famous, bringing smiles to people's faces. It's my belief that out of partnership, these things can happen. So my prayer is that this partnership will be good and it'll be pleasant. My prayer is that partnership in this situation will bring healing and renewal, dry bones will come alive, stick will become one in some wonderful way. And thirdly, my prayer is that partnership here can lead to greater influence and visibility in this great city of York. So may God bless you and thank you for allowing me to be a part of this very special evening. Thank you. God bless.